Hi, guys. Thank you for joining another episode of Extending the Olive Branch. It's your girl, Olive, a.k.a. Lashana. And I'm here with another amazing guest. We will be talking about community and travel and just awesomeness. So please welcome Jasmine onto the show. Hey, girl.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for coming on. I know it's late where you are, so I really appreciate you being here today. And it's going to be awesome. So,
yes.
How about, so I like to ask everyone, what's your ultimate goal in life and like your aspirations? So do you want to share with the, with our listeners what that may be so that they can get to know you a little bit more?
Sure. Well, I think that I have lots of different goals. I think ultimately I know that the place where I can have the greatest impact on the world is in the education space. That is what I am most passionate about in terms of college access, getting communities of color, specifically Black and Brown communities, into and out of college and helping them along the way in terms of finding educational resources, career resources, and those sorts of things. So ultimately, I see myself consulting. I started a consulting business a couple of years ago, and it's just still in the very foundational phases. But ultimately, I would like to work with parents and helping them, especially first-generation parents or parents who are from lower-income backgrounds, and help them to do what they need to do early on to get their students into the different camps and to find the different resources in order for their children to go to college where they would like to. I think there's a lot of information that some people have in the world and other people don't. And in my time working at different colleges and universities, that's definitely something that has pained me and that has opened my eyes to a lot of inequity and inequality in our society. And so ultimately, I would like to serve the world by consulting with parents around education and helping their students achieve their dreams and goals, and helping even my peers and other colleagues to achieve their goals through whether that be grad school or getting different jobs or those sorts of things. But that's where I would like to make my mark.
Hey, okay. What does like education mean to you, since this is something that you value? What's your story with education and what got you here?
Sure. So my dad is from Nigeria. My mom is from the southern part of the United States. And growing up, my dad always repeated to me that education is the greatest equalizer, that no matter what, you know, how people treat you, what they say about you, they can never take away your education. And that is very true in his story of coming from humble beginnings and having to work his way up from working in a convenience store to now being an executive at a corporate company. That's one of the top in the world at this point. And the same thing with my mother, of her using education to get her out of the space where she felt trapped. And so for me, growing up in North Minneapolis, definitely I believe that there's so many opportunities and resources I had access to strictly because of my education, of going to the schools that I went to, of meeting certain people and mentors along the way. I know that my life could have ended up completely differently. And I know that because when I go back to Minneapolis, I can see, you know, people who I went to school with and how their lives have turned out much differently than mine. And that's, you know, not because I have done something magical or way better than them. It's just strictly a matter of exposure or access to different things. So I'm very grateful for everyone I met along the path who took time with me, and that's, again, teachers, professors, peers that I met along the way that really have shown me different things. So for me, education was a way to really change my life. Going to the University of Minnesota changed my life. Going to Harvard University changed my life. All the work that I've done at universities and through education since then has changed my life and set me on a completely different path. So education is of ultimate importance to me, and I truly do believe that it can be an equalizer. It can be a way for people to change their lives and to have to achieve goals that are intrinsic and more important than anything tangible. right? That knowledge, that thirst for curiosity, and all those things are something that no one can ever take away, no matter what happens to you.
Right. Yeah. Like creating that space. So you talked about when you go back to like North Minneapolis and like your community. What does community mean to you? You spoke of education, but it seems like you really want to uplift your community. Why is that important to you?
Sure. So I think community, to me, is such a large and umbrella term. I think community can be built anywhere to some extent, but in terms of my community of North Minneapolis, there are so many people who poured into me. My mom had a business on West Broadway for most of my, all of my life while I was in Minneapolis. And there were just people who would come into the business and, you know, they would see my report card on the wall and give me money for getting A's, or when I was selling all these Girl Scout cookies, like they were supporting and pouring into my life. So, cause there's so many people when we talk about like it takes a village to raise a child, so many people encouraged and supported me. Like I had no choice but to succeed because I couldn't let all of those people down. And so that's what seeing those people who weren't related to me, who didn't even really know me, like growing up, seeing those people pour into my life was very impactful, because now I try to do the same thing for those who I know. If someone's child is doing well, I try to encourage them, or, you know, give a little gift when I can, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of community for me now, especially after having moved several times, community is just, is people who support you, people who love you, people who encourage you, people who you meet, who you connect with in a strong way, where there are reciprocal positive connections and relationships. And I guess I shouldn't say it's always positive, because I think you can make communities that doesn't feel good, but I'm very intentional about building a positive community everywhere I go, to the extent that I can control that. But community is just this sense of feeling like you're not alone, of connecting to other people and being a part of their lives. Because what is a life if you are just born and you are all alone the whole time and then you die? Like what impact have you had? Who has impacted you? I think that's a life that's not as well lived as it could be. So building community really helps us add value to our experience here, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I know, like, you and I, we have moved a couple of times in our lives. And so when you spoke about that, like, that really touched me, because it's like, you know my story. Like, I'm really, like, trying to find community and trying to find people who, that bring value to my life and that I can learn from. So let's go a little bit into what made you make your first move, because you went to Harvard and now you're in Philly. So you want to talk about your journey?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, North Side, and I left Minnesota in 2012. In the beginning of, in August of 2012. And prior to then, I had gone to Patrick Henry High School, then went to the University of Minnesota, where you and I met. And I'm forever grateful for that. We met each other and then a whole bunch of great friends there. And so after the U, I decided that I wanted to leave Minneapolis because it was just time. I felt like I needed to grow. I needed to experience some other things. Also, the weather, let's not lie. That played a big part of me.
There's currently a blizzard, and
right.
I was up to, like, past kneecaps, like, up to waist level, so.
Basically. And after, 25 years of that, I was over it. I was over it. And because winter is so snowy, but also so long, so from September to May, it's literally snowing and cold, like, I just wanted to experience something else. And so after I graduated from the U, I worked there in the Office of Admissions and then in Student Affairs for a little while. And then I decided I wanted to go to graduate school in education. And in terms of that, I really wanted to go to the top schools. So I applied to a bunch of different programs because, unfortunately, education is not valued in the way that it should be. And so I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to the top schools. I'm going to go give myself the best chance of being successful in this field by going to a good program. And so I left Minneapolis and moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where Harvard University is located. And Harvard was actually my last choice. And it's funny, the reason why I went to Harvard was really community. So Maura was there at the time. Maura is a person that you and I both know from the University of Minnesota, who I actually met in high school, and there's a whole long story to that. But she was there, and she's like, no, you got to apply to Harvard. You got to. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to wear a blazer with the crest on it. Like, I don't belong there. They're not going to like me, blah, 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 blah. And so on the day it was due, I submitted it, didn't have anybody look over it. Like, I'm just like, whatever, I'll just put it in. But then the visit actually really changed my mind, and I saw what a great place it was. What a great place it was for me specifically also. So I moved in 2012. It was scary a little bit to just, I'm an only child. And so Minneapolis is where my parents are, all four parents that I have. They're both remarried. And all my community was there. Like, I didn't know anyone in Boston besides Maura at the time. But also, even prior to that, there were people that were in Voices Merging, which is a poetry group that you and I and many of our friends were all a part of. Right? People had gone to Harvard, and it's like, ooh, and like we knew that because it was such an honor to know someone who had gone to Harvard. So we heard those stories. And so then Maura went, I went, and then several people after me have also gone.
We had like
gone.
Five people, like five.
Yes.
Amazing. So, yeah, when you got in, I was like, oh,
oh my gosh. Yeah, so thankfully I'm a part of that legacy that's been left there, but I wouldn't have gone had I not known those people who had gone before. So moving to Boston was a culture shock. I will say it was not my very favorite place to live, just because the culture of the Northeast is so different than Midwestern culture, in terms of the way people drive, the way people behave, the way people like don't speak to each other and like drop the door on you, versus Minnesota nights where people, you know, are just, they may not like you, but you feel like they do. So that just feels better.
You gotta love Minnesota nights. They will hold the door open for you. They will smile at you.
Yes. It's totally different. And things are newer. It was a surprise to me that in Boston everything was old and like lots of brick and cobblestone, and you know, there's a lot of history and tradition there, but I'm like, this was built forever ago. It's broken. We need a new one. Like, it's just whatever. So that was scary, but I definitely, it allowed me to grow up in a lot of different ways and gain a new sense of independence, because I couldn't, you know, call my mom who was 30 minutes away. Like, now people had to fly to see me. And it was different in terms of my friends too, because then I got a chance to see what it was like to be in a place where you don't know anybody and to start building community from scratch. But also, it kind of showed me, like, which friendships were most meaningful. Who did I still keep in contact with? Who's kept in contact with me? Who came to visit me? Who didn't? Like, those sorts of things also kind of allowed me to have a time of separation to really evaluate who I was associated with and why. Because in Minneapolis, I felt like it's really easy to, like, stay with the same group of friends who I went to high school with. And a lot of people who I went to high school with, I'm still very close to, so that's a different thing. But when you go to downtown, you see the same people every Sunday, same people every Saturday. Like, you're just kind of very comfortable. And so moving away allowed me to challenge myself and to separate myself and to see who I wanted to be. And that's one of the best parts that I've experienced about moving from place to place, is that I get to recreate myself. Nobody in every city I go to, nobody really knows me. So I pronounce my name differently. Like, I decide, oh, you know what? I used to be really a people pleaser. When I move here, I'm not pleasing nobody. Like, this is the new me. And that's all they can do is accept that. So that's really exciting on one end, because I can change my identity in ways that I've grown, that people are, I'm not bound to people's ideas or expectations of me because they don't know me at all. But then on the other side, there can be a big feeling of loneliness, or a great feeling of loneliness, because no one does truly know you like that. Everyone who I've met in every city, they've only known me for a max of 2 to 3 years. Whereas if I go back home in Minneapolis, I have friends who I've literally known since 7th and 8th grade, who really know me. Like, they were there for the whole glow up, everything.
They know your heart. So, like,
yeah, they know my heart, but they also know, like, that I'm not perfect, that I have a whole lot of flaws. Like, they know more than what was presented to me. Here, I can craft my identity in a way, because I'm grown and I can, you know, I can do certain things and I show certain parts of certain people. But when you're sitting with somebody from 7th grade on, like, they know all of you, the good parts and the bad parts. So there's just different kind of nuances to how community is once you leave.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now I know I have some questions, and now I'm, like, starting to think of, like, other things. So I know for me, when I moved from Minnesota, it was a little, like, community was overwhelming for me. Like, I was involved in so many things, and working at the jail, and working for the city and like just so many different things. And I felt like I was not doing the work that I really wanted to do. I was just doing the work that the community said, hey, you're good at this and you have a strong voice. We need you here. And so I just felt overwhelmed and I felt like I was just obligated. And so I moved and I was able to finally do the work that I wanted to do. Like now I'm in the community. I'm working in low income housing. I'm doing wellness there, and that's what I really wanted to do, as opposed to when I was in Minnesota, I was doing what they told me to do because they needed me there. And I'm so grateful of it, but how do you make that balance? Like, are you doing exactly, like, what you want to do, or has there ever been a time where you're, like, a little bit frustrated with the community and needed a break?
I definitely think I'm doing things that I want to do. I've had some really cool opportunities in the places that I lived. Oh, also, let me back up too, in terms of the journey, just so people have a frame of reference of where I'm talking about, where I lived. Mm-hmm. I went from Minnesota, went to graduate school in Boston, and then after that, I moved to North Carolina for almost three years to Raleigh, North Carolina. I was teaching at North Carolina State University. Then I moved to Norfolk, Virginia, which is near Virginia Beach, and I was working at Old Dominion University, and then I moved to Philly last July. So I've been in Philly for about 9 months, 8 months now at this point. And so that's been my journey kind of from the Midwest to the South, back up the East Coast. So now I'm in Philly. And in I haven't been to the West yet. That's the goal, though, trying to get to Cali where you are. Yeah. That's the ultimate goal. So in terms of every city that I've gone to, I found a way to get involved in the existing community through volunteerism or service or joining different organizations. And I have been very intentional and deliberate about that. There are times where I have joined an organization where I thought like, oh, this is going to be so great. And then once I got there, it wasn't that great. And maybe in the past I would have stayed in those organizations and just kept like feeling that sense of obligation. Like I signed up, let me keep doing it. But when I really see that something has absolutely no way of impacting me positively and it's not a good use of my time, I am strong enough now and I've learned the importance of saying, you know what, this isn't working out for me, and so I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to do something else and serve in a different way. So I feel like, thankfully, I don't feel like anything I do is out of pure obligation. And I think part of that is just growing up and recognizing your boundaries and where you will bend and where you will break and how you can stop it before it gets to that point. And also because every city I've been in has had some great different resources and organizations based in the areas of impact that I want to be a part of. So if I'm not in this organization, there's another way for me to do this organization. You know, like there's other options for me to still serve the communities that I want to serve without being obligated to do so, if that makes sense.
Right, right. And you do a great job of connecting. Like, I admire how you connect. You're like, oh, I'm doing this thing. Oh, I'm doing this thing. I'm going to this mixer. I'm going to this networking event. And I'm like, how do I go? How do I find it? I know when I moved, I was asking you for advice of how to be connected and things like that. And you do an awesome job. Like, I always admire that of you. Like, how you're able to just get into the different spaces and like thrive and just do well. So that's been something that I really admired. Do you have a couple of, we're gonna have to go. I know we're jumping all over the place. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to take this in. You know, I always say come here with me because I'm always learning. I want to learn more. And, you know, I've been in the Bay Area for some time. So I'm like, ooh, what can she give me? But okay, let's back up.
Okay.
And, so you talked about how you are able to get the things that you need for you and how you're able to move around because you're more wiser. And also we talked about all the different places you have been. What did you get out of – what was your favorite place to be when you moved? Because you're in North Carolina, now you're in Philly. What was your favorite place in Boston and why?
I really like Raleigh, North Carolina, just because there were so many other people who were transplants there. So everyone was really reaching out. Everyone was really hospitable. The culture was really warm and welcoming. However, I will say that there are things I liked about every place that I've lived thus far. And no place is perfect, but definitely there are some highlights from each place that I take along with me to the next place. But overall, I would definitely return back to Raleigh at some point if the opportunity were to arise.
That's awesome. What was like the hardest? Would you say Boston was the hardest place for you to live, or?
Yes, it was the hardest place for me to live just because of the culture, and also the weather there was ridiculous, and so it was kind of unpleasant, and also it's very segregated in terms of where people live, and finding like Black community for me was very difficult. And also I was in grad school, so I was very busy. I didn't have a whole lot of time, but it wasn't like I could just walk around and see people who reflected my background or get involved in community programs that easily there, specifically. So that was my least favorite place to live, but I'm glad because it really, once I got to North Carolina, I'm like, whew, thank goodness. It's closer back to the Midwest culture. So I'm glad I lived there because right. It showed me contrast, and that's important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like when I kind of visit you there. I'm like, hey, y'all.
It's a great place.
Okay, so maybe we can talk about how you got connected when you finally had the time. What are some of the resources that you use to connect with community? What do you do? What's the plan? What's your move?
Sure. So as I mentioned, everywhere I've moved, I didn't know anybody in the city when I got there. So my biggest resource is Google Maps, to be honest. Like, I Google Map everywhere. Yeah, and Google Maps has a feature where you can save places as somewhere you want to go. So it'll show you on the map, like, when you're near that place, like, oh, you said you wanted to go try out this restaurant. So Google Maps has really come a long way in terms of functionality, and that helps me find new things, find different neighborhoods. When you hit explore, I find new restaurants to go eat at all the time, places that I would never naturally probably pass by in my commute. So Google Maps Meetup has been awesome for me in most cities. Meetup is a website that allows people to connect with other people who are interested in the same thing. Not a dating site at all, but meeting with Black young professionals in different cities, has been really fun and helpful. And then also just really getting out there. Like, I look at the city, like Philly.com, or there's a site called You Wish You Knew Here, which every city has some sort of like calendar or community resource. I go to all the festivals. Like, I go to the food truck things. I go to try restaurant week. Like, anything that I hear about, it's really not that hard to find a lot of stuff. You just have to actually go, right?
Go.
And everywhere I go, I meet different people. I connect with them. They connect me with their friends, or they take me to this thing. So finding people who are from the area is also very crucial, because they know all the ins and outs that aren't on Google. They can tell you, like, oh, no, don't go to that place, but make sure you go here, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So connecting with people who are in the area has been super important. And really, it's just friends connect to friends connect to friends connect to friends. And everywhere I go, I really try to keep a positive attitude, to smile, to look approachable, to make sure that I'm giving off a welcoming vibe. And then people really respond positively to that. And if I'm lost, I can ask for directions. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm wrong or that I'm in the wrong neighborhood. How do I get to where I need to go? So really being open to the experiences and not saying, oh, I'm not going to go because I'm not going to have a good time, or I'm not going to go because I don't know anybody. And it took me a lot of work to be able to go to things by myself. But now that I'm at that space a little more, I'm still working on it, but it definitely pays off, because other people are really less scary than I think we imagine them to be in our heads before we go to stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy going, like, places by myself now. At first, it would be like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But then you're there, and, like, it lessens the anxiety, at least for me, because, like, I found that I don't do that well in groups. Like, I can say that I'm very blessed to have a strong community and a lot of people who, you know, we value the presence of each other. But when I get in groups, I'm just like, ah! Like, I start freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Like, going, like, by myself and, like, just showing up or, like, seeing people there, like, it's easier for me because I don't have to, like, exert myself that much.
True. And you know what? The key I found, too, that helped me is, and that, like, I learned this from my mom, but, like, get there early. So that way you can establish yourself in the space and feel comfortable, and you don't have to, like, walk into a room full of people and think they're thinking all these things. Like, if you're there earlier, first of all, usually it's free or cheaper if you get there. But then you can kind of make your perch, and you can watch people as they come, and you can decide who you want to talk to and what kind of moves you want to make, because you're, you know, you're setting the tone for the night. So that definitely helps, too.
Yeah, definitely. Any other tips? These are great. I would just really say, like, just Google, like, things to do in whatever city. I just, there are a lot of resources. I follow a lot of, when I find things I like or restaurants I like, I follow them on Instagram so I can find out when they're coming up with new events. Even just searching the hashtag of the city name on Instagram. Also, Facebook events has also come a long way. Facebook suggests us to me all the time that I'm actually interested in, and I save it. It goes automatically on my Google Calendar so I don't forget about those things. Just setting up those systems to remind yourself, because it's cool to see an ad or a flyer for something and then you forget about it. But I actually take screenshots of stuff I want to go to, and then once a week I go through all my screenshots to say, like, oh, this is the event I'm going to go to, or this is a maybe. You know, I have to prioritize because of money and time and, you know, who's doing what. But I make sure, I make a point to do that every single week of, like, what am I doing next week? And I have a phone full of screenshots of different events and things that I can go to. So definitely it takes some intentionality, but it's so worth it. I have met so many wonderful people in every city I've lived in that I would have never met had I stayed in Minneapolis for the last 5 years.
that's awesome. How do you stay connected with people, like, people that you just meet, or even like people from Minnesota or from Boston or Raleigh? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you stay connected?
Well, social media helps, of course. Then you can kind of see what's going on generally in people's lives. But I also try to make a point when I meet someone cool or I meet someone I really like, I try to, like, once a month I have a list of different people to contact and just reach out and say, hey, how you doing? Just checking on you. Or, hey, I knew you had that coming up, which, again, is part of being intentional, just to make sure I don't get people's numbers and then I never use them again. It's just like how sometimes people
do
with business
cards.
I have
a horrible problem with that.
Well, set a time. Once a week, I'm going to take 15 minutes to just text people, you know, who I need to catch up with, or whether they be from Minnesota or people I just met here. I also make different lists of people because I kind of know people's personality. And I'm like, this is the person I need to go to the club with. This is the person I need to go to a workshop with. So when I have those different lists, and so when I see something interesting, then I send those events to those certain people and ask them to come out with me. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but at least I also reached out. So hopefully they will reciprocate that and reach back out to me when they have something going on or whatever else. But I find that people apparently, like, really appreciate that. And they're like, oh, thank you for thinking of me, or you're so good about connecting. And I'm like, well, yeah, I like you. You're my friend. I want you in my life. So I'm going to reach out. And I wish more people would take the time to do that for each other, because it seems like people be out here lonely. There'd be so many people around them.
For no
lonely,
reason.
So.
And it's like, you got friends. Like, somebody is waiting for your phone call.
True. So friends got to reach out to each other. It's hard. Everybody's busy, whatever. But literally, a text message can take a minute, you know, to type, hey, girl, how you doing? Or less than a minute, 10 seconds, just to check in on people. And I think we should do that more often. Or, like, just going to get coffee. That takes 30 minutes, an hour of your time. And it really can rejuvenate your spirit. Like, I feel so good once I connect with the ladies here. Like, we just have such a, it's just everyone's on the same page. Everyone's encouraging each other. I feel great after that. So even if it took an hour out of my day, that hour was the juice and the fuel that I needed to go through the rest of the week. Right?
Oh,
so it's worth
it
to connect with people.
And we know you like fuel. You like your nap.
I do. I got to recharge. Fill my tank up.
I love it. Yes. And that's something that I love about community too. Like, community has a power to give you what you need. And like I said, like, I'm working with the low income housing community, and I could be having a bad day, but when I go there and I'm like doing the wellness workshops and everything, like, I just feel so empowered. Like, it's literally 18 hour days. So when I go home, I'm like up for an hour. You know, my bedtime is at 9 p.m. but I'm up and I'm so excited. Like, I have so many ideas. Like, I'm so inspired. And that's one thing that I really love about community. So thank you.
Yes. Can I say one more thing about that? So one thing I think is very important for people is, when I talk about evaluating your friend group and thinking about who you're spending time with, one thing I do is an energy check. So I when I go out with certain people, I check myself afterwards to say, like, did I feel good? Do I feel better now that I hung out with them? Or do I feel drained? Was that a positive interaction, or was it really not? Because if it's not, and it's repeatedly draining you to be with talking to somebody or hanging out with somebody, those aren't people you need to hang out with. So I'm very intentional about being with people who energize me, who empower me. I have to feel better on, or at least not worse. Worse after I hang out with somebody, because this is my own time. You know, everyone's making a sacrifice to do something.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that those interactions are positive and refreshing for me and not draining. So I definitely encourage people, don't just hang out with people because they invited you, first of all, or because you feel obligated to. Hang out with people you actually like and who make you feel good about yourself and about life.
Exactly. Yes. And like, you don't have to beg to hang out with them, or it's not like a convenience thing. That really sticks to me, because sometimes when you're traveling, or when you make a move, like it can be hard to make connections in that way. And like you said, like it can be draining, like, and it doesn't have to be draining you. And it is important to evaluate, why is this draining for me? Do I feel like I can't be myself in this group? Do I feel like there's ulterior motives for this hangout, or, you know, so I think that's very, very important. Thank you for sharing that.
Protect your energy.
Protect it. Anything else? Like, you're always inspiring. You have so much wisdom in that head. So
Thank you. I guess one last piece of advice is, sometimes I get people who hit me up from, who are still in Minnesota or who are in somewhere where they grew up. And I just would say that I always recommend, it takes a lot of courage to leave your hometown or to leave places that you're very familiar with, but I always encourage it. I think if you have the financial resources and the stability in your life to do so, that you should always get away from your hometown, even if it's just for a year or 2 years. I think it's so worth it to have another perspective and to see how other people live in other spaces. It will make you a stronger and better human being in so many different ways. So if anyone listening is like, oh, I've been here so long, I want to maybe take that leap. And it's scary, and you'll be nervous, and you'll have anxiety about it. But once you do it, I think it makes people all the better to do so, to not let fear stop you from experiencing different facets of life. It's worth it.
Exactly. Yeah, and even like for resources, there's so many resources out that you can connect to, like, if you want to make a move, you can connect to those resources. And I know for me, like, when I moved, I had a job lined up, and the week I was supposed to move, I no longer had a job. But I still move, you know? And so, it's just, that was just me. Like, I was just ready. And I'm like, I'm just going to go. I may struggle, but I'm going to be here. You know, I told you my story of how when I moved to California, I was working off of, what, $100, $200 a week before I found a job. Because I just needed to get out of Atlanta, you know? And so, that's extreme. You can, like, build up and, like, do research on how to make that move. But like Jasmine said, the world is so much bigger, but it can become so much smaller once you get out and see, like, wow, I can connect with these people. And wow, there's so many other opportunities that I can have just by taking that move. So, yeah, thank you for that reminder.
Yes, my pleasure.
Yeah. So, thanks again for joining Extending the Olive Branch, Jasmine. And so Jasmine talked about her business that she started. Y'all know I'm always like, Jasmine, help me. So if you guys need help, contact her. How can they contact you?
Sure, certainly certainly via social media on Facebook. My name is Jasmine Cherie Amour, and that's Cherie - Amour. And on Instagram, it's J.Cherie_Amour. Spelled the same way. My business is called Naturally Excelling. The website is under construction, but the email is naturallyexcelling@gmail.com. And I help with people's grad school applications, resumes, cover letters, just anything written in terms of proofreading, editing, and coaching you through writing your best work. So I'm available. Also, if people want to chat about moving, I'm happy to just share my experiences and talk more about how to make that work out for you too.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you. Thanks for healing with me today. And for the listeners, thank you for joining another week. We are slowly rising on these episodes, and I just thank everyone for the positive feedback that you guys have given, and all of the stories that came out of these podcasts. That's why
we are here to share stories and to help healing and to change our thinking and way of life. So thank you for healing with us and have a great day.
Thank you. I am Jasmine and I'm extending the olive branch. All right.